Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, February 7th, 2018. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Hey, I'm good. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
It is great that you are here. And Kelly Gumont, how's it going for you?
Pretty well, Jeff. How about you?
I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there. I'm counting the days until we get, Westworld.
HomePod.
Take your pick.
HomePod.
Yeah, HomePod.
Oh, right. That's a thing, isn't it?
That's a thing. Solo is Star Wars busy. Story.
I was busy thinking about young Lando Calrissian. I'll be over here.
No, I totally get it. I understand. I have a feeling that they should call it Lando, a Lando story with some Star Wars and Han Solo thrown in, because every screenshot you see him in the trailer, he owns it because he's that cool.
Because he's Lando Calrissian. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see how he earns his reputation, but I know that's not what we're here to discuss.
I know. We're here to discuss. Well, actually, we're going to talk about iOS 11.3 developer beta 2 first.
Okay.
And the reason we're
talking about... And what's notable about that, Jeff?
Oh, golly, Kelly. I'm really glad you asked. that would be...
Color John amused.
You know, John, if we can keep you happy and entertained, then we have done our job. Yeah. All right. So here's what's new and exciting in the second developer beta of iOS 11.3. It's the promised performance management controls.
Which means it will get a lot more exciting to operate your iPhone if you turn the switch on.
It'll be great for people that like to place bets. How long before
you're living
iPhone
life
crashes?
On the edge.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay, so here's the deal. The whole thing with the software update that Apple did in January 2017 that fixed the crashes that iPhones were having, if the battery had reached a threshold where it couldn't hold its original charge anymore, but the man, am I mashing that sentence up?
Let's take another shot at this. What does the new developer beta contain, Jeff?
It contains the switch to shut off that feature that keeps your iPhone from crashing if your battery's wearing out.
Okay. So that's why this is exciting, is because it's going to introduce a lot of excitement into the lives of people who hit this switch, because you never know. Maybe your iPhone will crash. Maybe it will just spontaneously reboot. You don't know, because you turned on the switch that made it do that instead of slow down a little.
This is like the option to remove the seatbelts from your car because they're annoying you.
Oh, thank you, John.
God, John, that's perfect. That's the best analogy I've heard of this.
John, do you have a pen? Do you have a pen, John? Because you need to note the day and time where I am wholeheartedly agreeing with you.
Yeah, circle that in red on your calendar, John. So
we'll celebrate it next year.
I've been very open and vocal about my feeling that giving people the ability to shut off the performance management thing for worn out batteries is a really bad idea, because people will do it and they won't understand why it's a problem.
This is the thing that I'm really bothered by as well on this, is that I'm not entirely convinced that the full effect of the situation, just like the situation that everybody was in the first place, I don't feel like this is being effectively communicated to anybody. So people are going to see this and they're going to go, oh, this is the thing that makes it so that my phone's not slow anymore. And you know what? That might be true. But the trade-off that you're making is you are turning on the thing that made everybody mad in the first place. What do you mean you made my iPhone slower? Well, it was either throttle it a little bit or just let it start spontaneously rebooting. And as a person who lives in a house with someone who had one of those phones that just started spontaneously rebooting, let me tell you, it's super frustrating. Oh, and especially because there is nothing within your power to do about it. I can't troubleshoot an app. Restoring from a fresh backup isn't going to make it any better. It's not going to change the situation. There is nothing you can do to make the battery younger. There's nothing you can do to put the battery in better shape. There is nothing you can do about the situation of the phone that you have unless you take it in and get it replaced. And we're not going to talk about that because that's not always the best option. So go ahead and ask me why later. And
The thing that's
frustrating about this is that people are mad now and they're going to turn on this switch and they're just going to be mad about something else because I don't know that it has been effectively communicated that this is what is going to happen if you do this. So what I hope, and maybe somebody who has the beta installed and actually tries this out on honest to God hardware can point this out and maybe make it more clear. Like if you turn this on, it should give you a pop-up that says like, This is in this state so that your phone at a slightly lower speed will continue to work for you without failure. If you enable this, it means your phone could crash. It could shut off unexpectedly. It could reboot in the middle of that thing you're doing, whether it's a phone call, whether it's important. It matters not. Are you sure?
Yeah, but it'll make our attorneys happy.
Okay.
But it should say, like, are you sure? No, really. Like, it should at least give you one pop-up dialogue of, like, no, really, I understand what I'm doing when I do this.
So, Kelly, here's how Apple set this up.
Mm-hmm.
I did some research
badly
yesterday. Okay. So, what they did was they added in a new thing in the battery settings. Mm-hmm. So it's just called battery health. And so it shows up along with the battery usage and the little power mode settings. So when you tap battery health, it takes you to a new screen where it shows what the maximum capacity of your battery is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says below that, it says peak performance capability. And if your battery is still new and holds enough of a charge, like in my case, iPhone 10, so 100% of capacity, it says your battery is currently supporting normal peak performance. Now, if you have a battery that's wearing out and it needs to be replaced ultimately, then what you'll see is a different thing under peak performance capability. And it says, this iPhone has experienced an unexpected shutdown because the battery was unable to deliver the necessary peak power. Performance management has been applied to help prevent this from happening again. And then at the end of that statement, there is no button, but there's one blue word that says disable. And when you tap it, it takes you to the new screen where you have to really make sure you want to disable this. So so what you're hoping for is there, and they set this up so that there is no obvious big button to start from. You just have to know, oh, this blue word is different, and Apple has done this in other dialogues, so if I tap it, it's probably a link to something. And sure enough,
What's funny is that Apple's virtually writing a book. You know, for a long time, it was a thing that these explanations under the buttons were so cryptic and practically took an article to explain what their little cryptic note meant under each button.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're writing us a book. It's amazing.
So here's the thing about this that surprises me in a weird way. Stick with me on this. Because they're actually explaining and they're actually talking a bit about the impact of this. So in iTunes...
Well, they have to.
Well... And that's true.
He's made him do it.
Right. And that actually, I think, for the most part, is working in people's favor. And the reason for that is, for as long as you have been able to plug a cable into your computer that allowed you to manage some other piece of Apple hardware in iTunes, iTunes has, since the dawn of time, sucked at communicating the magnitude of the error message that it is giving you.
Oh, tell me about it.
So it will say, like, it will be a very generic sounding warning that if you click OK is going to nuke every single iota of data on your drive from low Earth orbit. And then
that's the only way to be sure.
Right. But nothing in the dialogue communicates to you that, like, this is what's going to happen. It may not be what you want, because that's kind of a big deal. And the other thing that they are not very good at is a very serious sounding, very important looking with the stop sign, with the exclamation point in the middle. That's like, you plugged in a thing. Are you sure that's what you meant to do? Like, it's a very generic sort of, this shouldn't really be a big deal, but the dialogue makes it look like a big deal. And the reason that I know this is because for the same amount of time, my family has been calling me because they clicked okay on the very, very serious dialogue that didn't look serious, and they didn't know what to do about the one that sounded very serious that wasn't very serious. So in this case, the good thing about this is that I'm glad that it was the attorneys that backed them into this corner, so that they have to put all of this explanation on there to give you an understanding of what happens if you do it, because iTunes has never been that way. We all know about the dear spot in my heart that I have for iTunes. Yeah. And that's, so this I think is actually helpful. And this is one of those things that makes me happy. I'm also glad to see the battery health as part of iTunes, because if it's not a user replaceable battery, then I want to be able to have that information.
Yes.
And I shouldn't have to pay somebody else to get that data out of my phone, which is what was happening with when this all first broke, was a couple people whipped up battery utilities and released them in the App Store for a dollar or two. And I'm not against making money in the App Store, but I don't feel like I should be paying you money for something that you can't get any other way.
Nicely said, Kelly.
All right. So I want to take us on to another topic, because we're educating people today. But before we do.
Yes.
There's two other points that go along with this that I want to make sure people know. If you have a battery that's already in that kind of crappy mode, so this performance management thing should be enabled. It's not going to be enabled with this update until you have your first crash.
Okay.
So the default state for this is off normal performance. And the other thing is that Apple has...
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. And the other thing is that Apple has changed the technology that they're using for battery and performance management in the iPhone 8, 8 Plus, and 10. So this software thing that we're using for the iPhone 6, mm-hmm. up through the 7 and the SE... that's not going to apply to the iPhone 8 and newer.
Okay, so then what happens to my phone when my battery starts to age?
It has much more sophisticated...
I have an 8 for people. Yeah. For people who don't know, I have an iPhone 8, so, and you have a 10. So what happens to us when we end up in this state, had the phone for however long, the battery's not, you know, the old gray Mary, what she used to be?
From what I understand, and Apple hasn't gone into great detail about this yet, but from what I understand, they have done something so that the system can better handle the lower voltage that the battery is putting out, so that the processor won't choke and not get the energy it needs for that more intensive task.
Okay.
So not the same as throttling.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So the other thing that I wanted
to
talk about.
The de-chokifier.
Yeah.
The de-chokifier.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the other thing I want to talk about today is Full Room. And this is a HomePod feature that a lot of people are familiar with from Apple's presentations, but not by name.
I'm so glad you wrote this.
Thank you.
Really excellent article.
Thank you. So here's the deal. If you have a single HomePod, it will create a stereo-like effect with the... Whoops, sorry, my iPhone is face up. Siri was about to start talking. I'll remind everyone again to...
Quiet, Siri. Siri.
Simmer down, you.
I'll remind everyone again to do exactly what I keep forgetting to do, which is set your iPhone face down on the table and Siri won't listen.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. So give it a shot. All right. So with a single HomePod, you can have the stereo-like sound. You get the beam forming that... With the microphones and speakers so that you get...
Steric, can you amplify on that? Because Dave Hamilton had an excellent explanation of that the other day. About when you say stereo-like, it doesn't sound as technically cool as what's really going on.
Okay, so what's going on is Apple is using the microphones, that set of six microphones, inside the HomePod to listen in real time to the audio that the speaker's putting out. And then there's that ring of seven tweeters that are all there, and they're kind of angled up a little bit so the sound doesn't bounce off of whatever surface the speaker is sitting on. This gives Apple more control over the audio. So then in real time, the speakers are listening to that, or the microphones are listening to the sound coming out of the speakers and analyzing the music that's playing.
Based on the reflections it's hearing from the walls and the
surroundings. Right. And so then what it can do is take the sound that should be more like a left channel thing and make it appear as if it's left channel audio. Same thing for the right channel. But it's also doing this blending thing with the audio so that it better fills the room. Yeah. And so you have sound that's bouncing off the walls and everything else, and the A8 processor that's in the speaker, coupled with the microphones, it does all this stuff in real time so that you have this stereo effect.
I think a lot of people didn't understand that when the HomePod was first announced, and they thought, oh my, I'm going to have to buy two of them to get stereo.
No, you don't. Sort of
the first blush reaction, but now we know that's not true.
Okay, and so here's what happens when you add a second speaker. That's when full room kicks in, but not on Friday when the HomePod ships. This is a feature that's coming soon. Just so everyone knows.
So even if you get to on Friday, you still don't get this yet.
Come, Jerry Pornell, rest in peace. Real soon now.
Yeah. Okay, so here's what happens when you have two HomePods in the same room. They start talking to each other. And with a single HomePod, it figures out how to best fill the room with sound based on wherever you put it. If you take a second HomePod and put it in the room, then they talk together and work in concert to create that stereo effect and fill the room even better than a single speaker can. So if you have a larger room, then you could put one of these like on each end of the room, and they'll work together and fill the room with more sound, as opposed to having one speaker where maybe if it's a really big room, you go to one end of the room and it just sounds quieter. So this lets you work around that issue. And since the speakers can work in tandem, they're not fighting each other over what's happening with the audio. So you're not getting speakers in different places trying to create this stereo-ish effect and canceling each other out or conflicting in other ways.
I thought they were just talking to each other because they're practicing so they can seem more human.
Well, no one's supposed to know.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So anyhow,
I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. So you're going to go to this giant party by somebody in Hollywood, and you're going to go into their giant living room, which is like 50 feet long and high ceiling, and you're going to see these two HomePods sitting there. And you're going to ask Justin Timberlake, you're going to go, how come you got two of them there? And he says, because I wanted stereo.
Of course you're going to get that from some people.
Of course. But we're here to explain that's not true, so...
Right. But the thing is, if you buy a single...
Okay, when we're done recording, I need to know how John thinks I'm getting invited to that party, because I need to make that happen. That's all I'm saying.
I'll make a call for you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so a lot of people, or some people, may very well say, oh, I need to buy a second one so I have stereo. But when they get their one HomePod and set it up, they're going to be quite surprised at how it sounds, because it's going to be creating that effect for them from a single unit. And many of the people that are thinking, oh, I need a second one for stereo, will then change their mind because they realize it's just happening anyhow.
So what you're saying is Apple has shot themselves in the foot with this and now they're doomed.
I'm sure that's exactly where people are going to run with this. Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. Okay,
yep.
Shut it down and give it back to the stockholders. All right.
There you go. But for those people that have a larger space and mm-hmm. and the size of room that I saw show up in at least one of the early reviews was mm-hmm. A 20-foot by 30-foot living room with wall-to-wall carpeting. Mm-hmm. The HomePod at one end of the room didn't fill the the far corner in the same mm-hmm. way as it did in other parts of the room. So it was
sure.
kind of noticeable there. That would be a place where if it matters to you, then you get a second speaker, put it at the other end of the room. They work together, and now the whole room has this filled multi-channel sound.
Let me rant for a second. You know, Apple could have solved this problem, but they don't do things this way. But they could have. I mean, if it were Denon or Marantz or some other company, they would put a little aluminum placard on the bottom that says HomePod Stereo.
But it's not stereo. It's not stereo.
Well, yeah, but marketing terms.
I think
call it HomePod Stereo because it simulates stereo, and say, well, what's the name we gave it? You know, you can read the technical specs at your leisure, but we're calling it the HomePod Stereo, and there's a little aluminum placard at the bottom. You know, real small. You know. Just to put the word stereo in the customer's face when he pulls it out of the box.
So the thing I'm actually interested in is there were a lot of homes that were built in the 90s in, I believe, what's called the great room layout, or they call it like the open floor plan.
Oh, yeah.
Where like the kitchen, everybody's been in this house. Somebody lives there. Somebody, you know, lives here, and you walk in the front door and the living room and the dining room and the kitchen is all kind of this one giant area.
Yep.
And I would be really curious to see how HomePods handle that, because there's a lot of that kind of room out in the world. Like, you know, I don't imagine, Jeff, that setting this up in your apartment is going to be that you're going to find places where you can't really hear anything.
Yeah, for me, actually, I am, I think, the target audience for a HomePod, because I have an apartment. It has a nice size living room, but it's not like these McMansion living rooms,
right?
You know, at all. So a single HomePod in my living room is probably going to be all that I need. And
maybe more, honestly, depending on the size of the room.
Yeah. But if I had one of the 1990s style, totally open McMansions, I would probably get two once the full room update rolls out.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the other thing I like about this is that this sort of sounds like Apple is anticipating the kind of issues that they may end up having to solve. And, you know, and the way to solve that is not by just having them hooked together and on one side of the room all you hear is the left channel and on the right side of the room all you hear is the right channel. So I'm interested in how they're solving these problems. I think the HomePod sounds pretty cool. Like, it's just that there's no place for one in my life. And if I had $350 Apple gift card burning a hole in my pocket, that's not what I'd spend it on. But like, that doesn't mean it doesn't sound really cool. And sort of what I'm interested in with the HomePod as a spectator is how they're going to solve the other kinds of problems that people have with home audio in a room of an appreciable size, or home audio playing all different kinds of music, or home audio with podcasts. Like, I'm almost less interested in the Siri component of it than I am the part where they actually solve the problems of, I want to put a little bit nicer speakers in my house than the Bluetooth one that I got out of a Cracker Jack box.
Yep. And I think you're getting exactly where Apple's heading with this. And yeah, and the Siri thing, I'm sure, will improve over time, but that's not the primary focus of this speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. I know. Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Hey, my pleasure.
Yep, it's great to have both of you here. Listeners, I'm so glad that you have joined us today. Thanks for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.